The mind is a programmable, goal-striving machine, and most people aren't aware of what goal they're pursuing, the code that takes them there, and who wrote that code. Your mind is a complex set of systems that becomes more efficient in achieving the goals it adopts with time. Your mind is the vessel that interprets reality. When you were born, your mind was almost a blank slate. You had biological goals of survival, so your mind would fire the synapses to cry when you were hungry, when you wanted attention, and when you felt discomfort after letting one loose in your diaper. Most babies come out of the womb crying because they entered a massively stimulating and unknown game called life. As you aged, you started to develop a kinesthetic version of yourself. Even when you couldn't see your own face, your parents would sing nursery rhymes and point at certain body parts, and they would sing eyes, ears, mouth, and nose. Soon after, you began to crawl, play with toys from your culture, walk, and try to make sense of this foreign language your parents were speaking. You wanted to survive. You wanted to fit in. Your mind was a pattern recognition machine, and the systems of behavior and language were programmed into your mind as you subconsciously tested, failed, and succeeded with society's code. A system is a process to achieve a goal, and the societal system was injected in your mind so you didn't lose your mind since you were a child. And by the way, I discuss all of this in much more depth in my newly released book, The Art of Focus, that you can get now on Amazon and in the future on my website, available everywhere. By the time we reach 30, the average person is in a prison of their own creation, not society's creation, their own. It was you who failed to question the limits that society projected on you. You accepted them without struggle. Most people grow to live the same monotonous life over and over again, reinforcing their narrow minds with excuses, justifications, and identifications. Get offended, blame everyone but yourself, tie your self-worth to radical ideologies, accept everything at face value, and question nothing. Expect free handouts for simply existing, no effort. Do what the authorities tell you, go to school, get a job, retire at the ripe age of whatever it may be, no guarantees, with just the right amount of currency to survive until death. That is a quote from my book, The Art of Focus. There is a turning point in every young adult's life. You can either remain a slave to the code written in your head, or you can go through the painful experience of learning it, deconstructing it, and reprogramming it. There are three broad stages of moral development that are generally agreed upon. And so by moral development, I mean the development of what you think is right or wrong. The first is pre-conventional. A young human that has not yet socialized, they avoid punishment through obedience and act out of self-interest. The second is conventional. The human learns from itself and others, forming beliefs, values, and standards by conforming to society. They attempt to maintain social order. The third is post-conventional, where the human questions and reflects on society, observes it from a higher level, and can then criticize or reform it with critical thought. This is where universal principles come into play, resulting in the Buddhists were right insight. The danger is getting trapped in the prior stages. People attach to ideologies within these stages and then go on to preach them as the best or the most right, while every other ideology is wrong. So you can see this in Bible thumpers of various religions that say this is right or you go to hell. You can also see it in business people who say you should choose a specific niche or say you should choose a certain skill or say that freelancing is the best option or say that anything is the best option with a lack of regard for who you are. You also see this a lot in nutrition, where there's specific ideologies like carnivore diet, vegan, flexible dieting. The most true ideology is the one that incorporates the most ideologies into it. It incorporates the most perspective. It's a holistic perspective or ideology that can be used as a tool or lens to navigate that specific domain of life and avoid certain pitfalls within it. So something like flexible dieting, where it's like track your calories, track your macros, it has the principles within it that allows more people to adhere to and get results from the diet. And it allows for flexibility and creativity within it. This goes beyond just nutrition. It's like for business, why I recommend a personal brand is because it is arguably the most true and the most right, not the best or the right one. It incorporates most principles that would allow any business to succeed. This video will serve as a catalyst to wake a few curious people up. Now, we need to discuss what the matrix actually is. The matrix is a web of ideas. Culture is a mass hallucination, and when you step outside the mass hallucination, you see it for what it's worth. It's a quote from Terence McKenna. How do you know anything about reality? How do you know what's true or what's false? How do you know what you should or shouldn't do? You were told by another person in society who learned in society. 99% of what you know was not discovered by your own testing or experimentation. Where did other people get their information? Other people. Every piece of information you get is from other people who knew nothing when they were born. After you learn to walk and talk, the next step you take as a child is to go to school, so let's use that as an example. School boards determine what should be taught in school, but parents heavily influence the school board. Where do parents get the notion of what should or shouldn't be taught in school? From their schooling and parents. As you progress through public school, you pick up habits, refine your behavior, and develop your language from other students and teachers. Where do students and teachers learn their habits, behaviors, and language? By now, you're nearly a clone going into the formal education system. Let's run through this a bit quicker. The students and educators in the universities are coming from the schools. The people who teach children in the schools come from the universities. The people who taught the people who teach in universities also come from universities. Can you see how this is groundless and circular? Society determines information as true from scientific journals and publications. To be published, you must conform to the bias of the publication. Who created the publications? People whose bias was shaped through their PhD education, taught by someone with a PhD education. While you are at school, how do you complete your assignments? You research sites like Wikipedia when the articles are coming from the universities. You find the Wikipedia page through a search engine like Google. Google determines what is displayed based on what's most profitable or popular to serve up. Google gives authority to pages based on linking and link authority. Google places more authority on links coming from universities. The school system is only one example of this. Pharma companies fund huge wings of universities. The banking system is the lubrication between each anchor in society. You have to take out student loans to finance your education. Money is the lifeblood of the matrix, and if money stops flowing to any given area, it dies off like if you were to lose blood to your hand. The structure of society relies on itself to exist. Now we need to understand how society is a behavior system through attention anchors, and how negative feedback from this system conditions your mind to conform with it. You can live and die inside these intellectual structures if you choose to, but people of curiosity usually find themselves unsatisfied with the conventional answers. This is another quote from Terence McKenna. Society is a web of ideas that allows you to make sense of the world and not go insane. Ideas, in this sense, are anything that the mind can make sense of and label. Ideas are everything. And if we want to get a bit crazy, everything is an idea in the mind of reality, or God, or the universe. Reality is mental. Ideas are whole parts. They layer on top of each other. They allow each other to exist. They are hierarchical, like a word to a sentence, to a paragraph, to a chapter, to a book, and that book is also a whole part of a bookcase, and that bookcase is broken down into parts like wood, which came from a tree, and a tree connects deep into the ecosystem, allowing for much else to exist. That is the fabric of reality. It is the concept of what a holon is, a whole part, in terms of the integral philosophy of Ken Wilber, where I believe he got the word holon from someone else. Reality is holons. It's hierarchical. They layer on top of each other. One idea leads to the next. I call them ideas because that's what they are. This camera is an idea. This is an idea. Everything is the label that my mind gives it. Regardless of its physical shape or boundaries, it's an idea. And that is how evolution has come to be. Ideas allow other ideas to exist. The tractor comes after the plow. The note-taking software comes after the notepad, etc., etc. One thing leads to the next, and these ideas, they evolve. Nothing is permanent. This societal web contains anchors like schooling, the media, the economy, the government, and culture that were all made up by those residing in it. Society is a feedback system that punishes people for not fitting in as the negative feedback mechanism to correct behavior for the goals of society. Parents scold their children when they don't follow the rules of the matrix. Teachers give bad grades to encourage memorization and obedience. Peers make fun of you when you do something out of the norm. Society is a system, your mind is a system, and your identity is a system. We've talked about this before. From macro to micro, reality is a complex nest or hierarchy of systems. Reality is a giant mind. And society is a made-up intellectual structure within that mind. And so is your self or your identity or anything that you can label. It's all creative building blocks. I'm not saying society is bad by any means. I'm just saying it's made up and it can be changed. And you don't have to be a slave to it, is what I'm saying. From the bottom up, your identity is programmed and shaped by society unless you make the conscious choice to reprogram it. With time and repetition, you pick up habits, learn your language, and form a worldview that may or may not align with your ideal lifestyle. Systems are layered in your mind as a deeply interconnected mesh with society. It all starts with attention. Your mind craves order, security, and certainty. Society provides that. So your attention is nearly forced to focus on the system that society has laid out for you. Your identity houses the conscious or unconscious goals you are trying to achieve. If you are a program running in society, an NPC, or a line of code, and you have the goal to get a high-paying job, your mind won't register starting a business as important. This seems harmless on the surface because not everyone needs to start a business, but it goes much deeper than that. Now, let's deconstruct society as a game that people love to play. You're bored because you haven't exposed yourself to potential futures that demand an increase in skill. You're anxious because you projected too far into the future and don't have the skill demanded. Games are fun to play, but only for a bit. If you don't continue pursuing the challenge it takes to level up or reach the next level, then the game gets boring. Life gets boring. And as you progress further in specific games like health, wealth, relationships, or just any game, it takes longer to reach that new level, right? From level 1 to level 2, it comes pretty quick. You make progress fast, and then you kind of get addicted to it. This is society. You get addicted to it quick, or it gives your mind so much order and certainty that you get locked into it. But then when you're level 50, and you're trying to go to level 51, it takes 20 times the experience to reach that. It may take 10 experience to get from 1 to 2. It takes 500 experience to get from 50 to 51. And so within that time, it's so much harder to progress and reach the next level. So it gets boring. And it's very difficult to actually stay motivated. So people get locked in jobs. They start going through this repetitive cycle of just day in, day out, checking the clock, hating their life for 40 years and don't get anywhere with it because they don't understand how to play the game or create a new game. A game contains a hierarchy of goals that orders the mind and results in focus, flow, and fulfillment, but only as long as you are progressing through the game. Society is a game with the goals from the bottom up of go to school so you can get on the same invisible page as everyone else, get a job so you can contribute to the operations of society, marry someone according to a made-up cultural moral code, become chained down with responsibilities you don't care about because society told you to, be forced to focus on menial problems so you waste your time and never threaten society by pursuing your own thing and thinking freely. Retire at whatever age you can with a bit of money, just like it was planned all along. Hope to never work again and be on eternal vacation. We all know how that turns out. The outcome of 99% of people is not pretty. You can just observe society and see that most people do not like the way that they're living. They do not like their jobs. They do not like what they're doing. They don't like that they have so little time to pursue their curiosity or personal development so they can reach the next stage of creativity, doing their own thing and creating their own challenge through entrepreneurship. If you don't create your own game, you get trapped playing someone else's and that gets boring, sending you into an eternal cycle of stress and narrow-mindedness. Now, finally, let's talk about how to escape the matrix or how to become independent of society. That's what escaping the matrix means. Now, again, I'm not trying to paint society as evil. It was mostly an unconscious process of survival. And it's a necessary game we have to play it's the tutorial for life. But most people treat it as the entire game. Society is the tutorial. Building your own thing is the actual game. And most people never get to the actual game. So the first step to escape the matrix is to master your survival and find purpose. That's the end of the tutorial phase. Your problems are a tight-knit web that bind you to your current situation. Problems don't exist on their own. That's another quote from my book, The Art of Focus, with a lot of context around that quote. There is a reason that you are in a life situation that you don't like. Because you failed to gain awareness of the problems that are keeping you there. As I said in the quote, your problems are a tight-knit web that keep you locked into the situation that you're in. You can't see what the next level is because you haven't solved the problems of the current level. You haven't unlocked the next dungeon or the next career opportunity in like a video game because you haven't reached that level. You don't know what's possible because you don't want to solve the problems that are right in front of you. For simplicity, your purpose is the problem you are solving to achieve a goal. And most people are assigned a purpose that doesn't evolve, and they are stuck forever in a narrow-minded state of stress pushing toward the goals of society. Are you overweight? Is your diet terrible? Do you hate your job? Are you ignoring your relationships? These are interconnected problems, not singular. Your job may be consuming so much time in your day that you don't have the energy to put effort into other areas of your life. Your nutrition may be contributing to that lack of energy and spilling over into your relationships. Mastering your survival is mastering the eternal markets, health, wealth, and relationships. There's no coincidence these are the most profitable verticals in business. Everyone has these problems, and by solving them, you gain the experience to monetize your experience and do what you love. So mastering your survival is self-improvement, in a nutshell. If you live in your body and you live in your mind, do you not see it as your full-time job to learn about and build those things? And I discuss all of this in the video, Solve Your Own Problems and Sell the Solution, where I turn self-improvement and business into one meaningful path in life, where you solve your own problems, create a process, sell it to someone else who has the same problems. And by doing so at scale, you raise the level of consciousness or level of mind of those under you, making for a better humanity. That's purposeful business. When you fulfill minor purposes of self-improvement, only then can you discover deeper, more meaningful purposes. Stop trying to solve the problems of the world when you haven't even solved your own. So step number two is to learn from the decentralized school system. You aren't aware of your potential because you haven't been exposed to it. You haven't been exposed to it because your environment is completely known. The unknown is the land of possibility. You must expose yourself to new career paths, health paradigms, and social circles. Like I said earlier, this is the importance of integrating multiple perspectives, right? By going to school, you only learn a select few. You only learn certain things about reality. When you're online and you're in this giant online game, if you don't get locked in an echo chamber, then you expose yourself to all of these different conflicting ideas, and you're able to make sense of them and create a more holistic worldview for yourself so that you can live a better life with less reactivity to just everyday situations. So your general enjoyment for life increases its baseline substantially. Realize the knowledge and skills you must acquire to change your life: writing, marketing, sales, fitness, nutrition, communication, and the rest. A good starting point for this is my course, 2-Hour Writer, where I teach high impact digital writing, which serves as the foundation for every other skill you learn. And I teach you other skills in there, like marketing, sales, persuasion, because they're necessary to actually have good writing. And when you do learn new skills outside of the formal education system, you will feel uncomfortable. You will feel overwhelmed, which is what we're going to talk about in a future newsletter and video called You're Supposed to Feel Overwhelmed, or I Discovered a System to Learn 10 Times Faster, where I teach you how to learn quicker. But that's the thing. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Your identity is going to feel threatened. The creator economy is the decentralized school system. Creators are solving their own problems, forging new paths, creating new jobs, and teaching what they learn through content. Break out of your bubble of comfort, follow new people, distributing life-changing information, invest in non-traditional education for non-traditional results, and discover new potentials for your life and act on them. Life becomes meaningful at the edge of the known. When you discover novel information, your brain will signal that you've encountered a meaningful event. Don't ignore this. Pursue it fully. Obsess over the rabbit hole of education. This is how you open your mind, order your mind, and train your mind to become a new mind, one that isn't subject to the limits of society. Step 3 of escaping the matrix is to create your own infinite game. So to start it off, another quote with a lot of context from my book, The Art of Focus. Entrepreneurship is the only logical option for long-term thinkers. If you want to stop playing society's game, you must create your own, one with infinite progression and evolution, not one that traps you at a certain level and makes life boring. This is done through cultivating a vision for the future, iterating on a plan to create that reality, and choosing a vessel that allows you to do that. Note that I said cultivate a vision and iterate on a plan. This is an ongoing process. It doesn't end. Your vision will not remain static, nor will your plan. As is the same with all things in life, they change. So, illustrate everything you want in your future. illustrate everything you don't want in your future, create a hierarchy of goals to get there, acquire the knowledge and skills necessary, make changes to your plan with experience as a feedback mechanism. So you can do this in the blank page of a notebook or an app on your phone, but I also created the Foci Planner, which is a physical planner that deconstructs this entire process and guides you through it. When you get bored, don't quit, pivot. Pursue a higher challenge that utilizes the skills you've acquired. For example, if you get bored with freelancing, try e-commerce. This is not shiny object syndrome. This is intelligence. When you get anxious, set a more clear goal between you and the overwhelming goal you are trying to achieve. You need to break things down for clarity. If it's getting too overwhelming or anxious, create a goal in between what you're trying to pursue and where you are. Step 4 to escaping the matrix is leveraging the digital society. I see jobs as a stepping stone, not a death sentence, although for many, it is that. For most people, it isn't feasible to go straight into entrepreneurship. By nature of the matrix, people take on responsibilities that tie them down early in life. Bills, a family, a house, and a job that can drain your energy to do anything about it. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not anti-job. Jobs are extremely useful for cultivating a skill set and potentially practicing that skill set and opening yourself up to new opportunities and advancements, but for most people, it's not that way. It's a game that has gotten boring. And if you're playing that game or working that job for 1/3 of your life, that's how much people work, even when they retire, you are not going to get out of work. Rest demands work. If you rest so long or you're on vacation for so long, you want to get back to work. Like, it's not going to be peaceful for that long. If everyone was living on an island, eventually someone would start some form of chaos because it would just be so fucking boring. So you need work. You're not trying to escape work. You're trying to create your own work that allows you to increase the challenge. Because if you're playing the boring game of working a job for 1/3 of your life, it drains your energy for the other 1/3 of your life, and you're asleep for the other 1/3, something has to change. The internet and social media have created a digital society. Creators and brands are the new education system, media, government of the online space, which is people calling out each other and whatnot to keep the space clean. It's also the religion, so everyone is pushing an ideology. It's up to you to culminate and collect kernels of truth on your own. And it is the economy, so everyone is selling something. And no, this isn't a bad thing. It's survival. We're going to talk about that in another future video on how when people launch products, like I saw Mike Thurston launch a product, and all you see in the comments is, oh, he's a sellout. Oh, everyone's selling something. And it's like, those people need to open their eyes and see reality for what it is, because you are probably selling your soul or leasing your soul to a company to sell a product for them. So who's the real sellout? This new society is decentralized. You aren't forced into any one path. You have the option to pursue what you want, and you're responsible for your lack of critical thought if you get trapped in place. My advice is use your skill set to get a job under a creator or brand on the internet. Choose one that allows you free time to pursue your own thing. Use the new skills you learn to build your own thing. Your profile is your public resume. And we teach all of this to help you start your digital career in 90 days inside of Cortex University. Link in the description. You write content to display your value. You network to join a community. You leverage that community for opportunities. And you eventually use the resources you gain, like an audience, to build your own business and live free. You won't be able to do this in an instant, just like it took 18 plus years for you to become a line of code in society. Deconstruct the game you are playing. Understand the code running in your mind. Create your own game and enjoy the rest of your week. If you want to grab my newly released book, The Art of Focus, in Kindle, paperback, audiobook version, you can do so via the first link in the description. Also, my courses, To Our Writer, which is high impact digital writing, digital economics, which is everything online business. Check those out. There's also the planner, Cortex University, other cool stuff. Just see if you want anything. I don't know. It's up to you. See if you're a fit. Buy them. All that stuff. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Like, subscribe. YouTube outros are hard. Bye.